relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you like America First, then check out our separate podcast, The Battle for 1600, with my former White House colleague, Boris Epstein. Every week, we give you the inside, in-depth analysis of what's really going on. The Battle for 1600. Subscribe today.
Our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
I have so much to share with you, my friends. But just something I heard on the way into the studio today that I'd like your reaction to. The Biden administration is providing more than $30 billion to U.S. colleges as part of the COVID recovery plan. Are you happy? That's not my question. Half of that money must be given to students in terms of federal aid, including to foreign nationals, people who've never paid tax in this country, whose parents have never paid tax. And here's the kicker. The federal government has said colleges need to give that aid to illegal aliens. That's your money. Tell us what you think. I need to know. This is America First. Our phone number is 833-33-GORKA. That's 833-334-6752. But first, the biggest story. I told you guys, every administration has its crisis. JFK had Cuba. We had ISIS. JFK was a hawk. He may have been a Democrat, but he instigated a naval blockade around communist Cuba and averted a potential nuclear war with the Soviet Union that had positioned short-range nuclear missiles on the island nation less than 100 miles off the U.S. coast. When we walked into the White House, we had to deal with the disaster that was a strengthened Russia, a recalcitrant China, and, of course, the ISIS caliphate. And we did. Under Donald Trump's leadership, within 5 months, the caliphate was gone. Russia and China were back in their boxes, and North Korea was on the precipice of a peace summit. This administration... Well, let's just start with this. There are now lines for gas at gas stations. 17 states have been hit by a pipeline cyber hack out of Russia. And this is the administration's response. Cut 10.
So first, we recognize that victims of cyber attacks often face a very difficult situation, and they have to just balance often the cost-benefit when they have no choice with regard to paying a ransom. Colonial is a private company and will defer information regarding their decision on paying a ransom to them.
Would the administration offer any advice on whether or not to pay a ransom?
So typically that is a private sector decision, and the administration has not offered further advice at this time. Given the rise in ransomware, that is one area we're definitely looking at now to say what should be the government's approach to ransomware actors and to ransoms overall.
It's a clown show. That is the chief cyber person for the Biden administration saying, this is a private sector issue. No, it's not, you cretin and Neuberger. When we're talking about the supply of gas to 17 states, that is a national security issue. You don't just say, well, that's up to the company. No, it's not. You think childcare is infrastructure, but the pipeline that supplies 45% of the oil and gas to the eastern states of America, that's not the concern of the U.S. government? There was a senator from the state of Illinois who not too recently said, elections have consequences. Do they ever? Let's just do a little reminder, a little tour d'horizon of the last few years. After we came into the White House, having inherited 8 years of no American leadership, of an Obama administration that saw America as the problem, whose head of state, whose chief executive went on an international apology tour as his first international act, we inherited a world on fire. It's easy to forget now. But for the first time since the caliphate was dissolved in 1924, Islamic extremists, Islamic fundamentalists had reestablished the caliphate in the Middle East, spanning multiple countries in the form of the ISIS insurgency. Russia had broken a 70-year taboo by invading its neighbor and taking its territory. NATO was a joke, with less than half of its members actually paying the agreed-upon 2% of GDP to the collective defense dues of that alliance. North Korea was shooting missiles across the Japanese Sea over our allies. And Iran, emboldened and funded by the Obama White House, was involved in destabilizing the whole of the Middle East with its proxy forces. And then Donald Trump arrived. He didn't walk softly and carry a big stick. He walked loudly and carried a club. China was read the Riot Act. We initiated a trade war with the biggest communist nation in the world. We put Russia back in its box, targeting more than 200 Russian mercenaries in Syria and killing them. No U.S. president has done that in modern history. And when it came to North Korea, we scared them so much that they begged to come to Singapore for a summit to sign a peace treaty. In the Middle East, despite being told it would never happen without the Palestinians, four nations sat down with Israel for the Abraham Accords, historic U.S. brokered peace accords. And then, lastly, ISIS was destroyed in the form of its physical caliphate. Not only had we secured the southern border, but we destroyed those who wished to destroy us. It's been 112 days... since a corrupt politician of 47 years in politics, who is clearly senile, was sworn in as the 46th president of the United States, a sentence that grieves me to simply allow past my lips. And what has happened in the last 112 days? Utter catastrophe at our southern border. 6,000 illegal aliens every single day. 500 children abused, exploited, with the cartels making billions. China intimidating our friends so badly that the Australian government's chief ministers and military personnel are telling the Australian public to prepare for war. North Korea, already in March, launching test missiles again. The Palestinians out of Gaza launching rockets against our closest ally in the Middle East, the only democracy in the region that is Israel. Russia getting ready to reinvade Ukraine. And then the news of this weekend. Forget the stories that, oh, it's the private hacking group DarkSide out of Russia. I studied strategy. I was a strategist. You don't shut down the gas supply to 17 states of the United States out of Russia as a quote-unquote private hacking enterprise without the permission of the Russian government, Vladimir Putin. That is a declaration of war. That is an act of war. And the clowns, the cretins, the incompetent dilettantes in the White House say, it's a private matter for the company. You angry yet? Are you gonna get engaged? Now is the time. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network.
America First. Magnificent.
If you're in daily pain and have not found relief in any other way, you've got to try this 100% drug-free product. Just listen to Debron from Massachusetts. I just started taking Relief Factor 4 days ago. My hip pain is gone. I had a horrible time sleeping because of the pain. I absolutely love how I am feeling. Thank you, Relief Factor. Did you hear those words? My hip pain is gone. Whether it's your back, your shoulder, your knee, your hip, just give it a chance. ReliefFactor.com. Order your 3-week quick starter pack. Call 800-500-8384. That's 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com. Some real journalism right now. Real journalism here in America First. What is happening to America after the cyber strike from Russia on our oil facilities, on our pipelines? Our engineer Jeff knows and our producer knows. Mr. G, what have you heard about the last couple of days? Can you get Jeff's mic up? Hit it.
There we go. Yeah, I still have a lot of friends in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, where I went to college. Actually, we're actually heard live on as well.
But hello, Myrtle Beach.
Lots of gas stations closed. Talked to one of my friends. Only a few gas stations even have gas. And the ones that do, they're backed out to the road with traffic. The police are directing traffic and making sure people don't get into fights.
Wow. Making sure people don't get into fights. Mr. J, who's on the board today,
yes,
what
sir.
Did you witness?
Well, I, after waiting in line for about a half a block to get into the place, there was a guy ahead of me filling up six of those five-gallon jerry cans of fuel in addition to his SUVs.
Six?
Yeah.
Jerry cans.
Apparently he's in it for the long haul.
I have shades of Cold War 1973. Let's ask a man who knows more than most about that era. He is the author of fabulous books, A Pope and a President, My Favorite Dupes, and most recently, The Devil and Karl Marx. Professor Paul Kengel, welcome back to America First.
Well, thank you, Seb. It's good to be back.
Are you having a sense of deja vu when you hear about what's happening at gas stations around America?
Yes. In fact, this takes me back. We were talking on the break about the late 1970s, and it smacks of the Carter years, stagflation, gas lines, you know, people waiting in line for gasoline. And you know, frankly, it was all of that that led to the election of Ronald Reagan in 1980, with Reagan promising morning in America, right? Or at least it was the Morning in America campaign when Reagan ran for re-election in 1984. But, yeah, I'm old enough. You asked me during the break how old I am. I'm 54 years old, and I remember my dad in western Pennsylvania driving home late 1970s, getting home late at night, like 6:30, 6:45 in the winter. It was dark. It was a very, very, very cold winter. Snow piled up everywhere in western Pennsylvania. And I remember him cursing at the dinner table that he had to wait in line for gasoline for like an hour, hour and a half. And even then, Seb, it was rationed.
Yeah.
So he would get like 10 gallons of gasoline. That was all that he could get. He was driving this 1975 Chrysler or Plymouth or whatever it was, and which got about 10 miles to the gallon. And if he was driving to Pittsburgh from Butler, Pennsylvania, my hometown, he had to stop and get gas once or twice along the way. So it was really bad. And all Jimmy Carter could tell us was bundle up, get yourself a sweater, and put some more air in your tire.
Did you expect that this would occur, something of this magnitude would occur just 112 days into the new administration?
Yes. Yes, actually, because the Russians...
That's why he's the professor.
Prey, yeah, yeah. I mean, they prey on weakness, vulnerability, and, I mean, you know, back to Jimmy Carter, it was, what, it would have been 5-6 months after Jimmy Carter planted a kiss on the cheek of Leonid Brezhnev at the Geneva summit in June 1979 that Zbigniew Brzezinski walked into Carter's office around Christmas time and said, Merry Christmas, Mr. President. I have bad news for you. The Soviets, your kissing buddy, Leonid Brezhnev, they just invaded Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And that was a few months after hostages were taken in Iran. So you know, people like this, dictators, autocrats, they prey on perceived weaknesses of leaders. And Donald Trump, despite whether you like him or not, was not seen as a weak man. Right?
And the idea that a Russian hacking organization could take down the pipeline serving 17 states in America, that could happen inside Russia without at least the tacit acquiescence of the Kremlin, that beggars belief, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And in fact, to show you what a reversal this is, and again, from the Carter years, from the Trump years, whatever, I remember, so this would have been, in fact, I can't say I remember it because I was in high school at the time. I only learned about this as a researcher decades after it happened. But Ronald Reagan and Bill Clark's National Security Council under Reagan, Bill Casey's CIA under Ronald Reagan, we went after the Russian gas pipeline.
Yeah, we sabotaged it. We actually sabotaged
it. We did. In fact, we blocked the construction of one of the two Siberian gas pipelines altogether, and we delayed construction of the second. Yevgeny Novikov of the Soviet Central Committee in the 1980s, he would later say about 10 years later, he said that and the oil manipulation, so we were hitting them hard on energy exports, both natural gas and oil. He said tens of billions of dollars were wiped away by this economic warfare by the Reagan administration against the Soviet Union in the 1980s.
And the good guys won. We won against the Marxists, but now they're here in America. And I have to play you a clip. We're talking to Paul Kengor of Grove City College. This is from one of the founders of Black Lives Matter. Play clip.
I was at our publications table today, and I was speaking to this young person from Arizona who's trying to fight SB 1070. And he grabbed a book and he said, it's like Mao's Red Book. And I was like, man, that's what I was thinking. And it was just really cool to hear him make that connection.
Have you ever striven, Paul Kengor, to have people think of your publications as Mao's Little Red Book? Is that one of your goals in life?
It's not. And I'm holding Patrice Cullors' book in my hand right now. All I needed was 10 seconds. And it's called Why They Call You a Terrorist, a Black Lives Matter Memoir. And here on page 88, I keep the page bent. She writes of the Strategy Center in L.A. under Eric Mann, who, by the way, Seb, had been a member of SDS and I think also was one of the founders of, I think he was actually a member of the Weather Underground as well.
Yes.
And she writes here, we read, we study, adding Mao, Marx, and Lenin to our knowledge of Hooks, Lord, and Walker. So Patrice Cullors, she said of her and the co-founder of BLM, Alicia Garza, she said, we are trained Marxists. We are super versed in ideological theory. So that that's very much her framework, her worldview.
So here's the big question. You've got to educate yourself. Check out his latest work, The Devil and Karl Marx by Paul Kengor. Are they going to overdo it? Are they going to, like Fonzie, are they going to jump the shark, ramming Marxism down America's throats too quickly? Is there going to be a counter push to what we're witnessing today? Paul, we've got 60 seconds left.
Well, I think it's really interesting. I wrote a piece for American Spectator. About a year ago, BLM scrubbed its website
Yes.
of all the Marxist junk. And words like comrades and abolishing the, quote, Western prescribed nuclear family structure, unquote. In that article, I quote Martin Luther King Jr. condemning communism. And so I think even if Patrice Cullors is, if that's part of her worldview, part of her ideological theory, I think they're being very careful to try to keep that away from the organization.
It's fascinating that the left-wing mayor of D.C. just paved over the Black Lives Matter road mural here in the nation's capital. I wonder why. Thank you, Professor Kengor. This is America First. Your call's next. The Hellcat from Springfield Armory is still the smallest, highest capacity micro-compact in the world. The definitive concealed carry handgun is feature-rich, chambered in 9mm, and is available in standard or optics-ready configurations with 11+1 in the standard magazine and 13+1 with the extended magazine. The Hellcat from Springfield Armory gives you the capacity to defend. It's so good, I've got two.
To get America to be independent of other countries of oil and gas, and we did that under the Trump administration, we not only became independent, we became dominant. And this administration wants to take that away, stop building pipelines. Well, if there was ever a wake-up call of, hey, President Biden, maybe we should build more pipelines instead of shutting them down, this was it today with the Colonial Pipeline. This is insanity.
That is former cabinet member from the Trump administration. He is, of course, Mr. Rick Perry, who says, we were energy independent not too long ago. But Joe Biden doesn't think this is a problem. In fact, the New York Times, this is amazing. So this is, I'm just on my Twitter feed. Colonial Pipeline, a vital U.S. fuel artery that was shut down by a cyber attack, said it hoped to restore most operations by the end of the week. So, yeah, you know, you have to drive somewhere. Don't worry. Just wait till the end of the week. Since the shutdown, now this is the New York Times, there have been no long lines or major price hikes. Well, I guess what we're seeing and what our friends are witnessing isn't true. I guess what Henry Rogers had just posted from the Daily Caller isn't true. My mother, speaking about her mother, Mom said every station on the way home from the airport was closed. No more gas at the pump. I witnessed with my very own eyes crazy long lines. New York Times doing what it does best, which is just lying. Let's go to Stan in Los Angeles, line three, first call of the day.
Hi, Dr. Gorkum.
How are you? Good.
I would say this is totally in line with Biden's policy of closing down pipelines. Why would he be upset about it? I think he would be in favor of it. He wants to get used to having no gasoline.
Yeah, I don't think Biden has any policies.
Well, I think it's one to get rid of all fossil fuel. I think that's
No. I don't think he has any policies. I think he's an empty shell.
He doesn't have a policy, but this is what his advisors want.
Right. No, they hate He is surrounded by people he has facilitated who are simply extremists. So Biden is a senile old man. He just reads scripts, and he can't even read scripts properly.
But he's running, but the people behind him are running him, and that's what he's doing. So why be upset? You know, he doesn't care about gasoline.
He doesn't. Okay. So that's your point, down. Stan? That's it?
Excuse me?
That's it? That's your point?
Yeah.
Good. Thank you, Stan. Derek, Ohio, line two.
Hey, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So just with your question at the beginning of the show with how we feel about college money going to illegal aliens.
Yes.
If we're allowed to call them
illegal. Billions.
We're allowed to call them illegal aliens. But, what's the problem? I mean, the Biden team, they found a great solution. We could just keep printing money. It's free. just keep printing it. There's no problem with that, is there?
Right, because that doesn't devalue our money at all.
No, I think it's a great solution they found. I'm surprised if they got in power before, they would have been doing that long ago.
Well, look, Derek, let's be honest here. Let's be truthful. The spending or the printing of money isn't an exclusively Democrat hobby. Am I right?
No, that's true. I saw a capture, I think, 30% of all U.S. dollars ever printed were just last year alone.
Yeah, the rate of fiat currency production is the greatest we've ever seen. Thank you, Derek. Carl, Alabama, line four. What have you seen when it comes to gas pumps across your part of the world?
Good afternoon, Seb. I work for myself, and I drive a lot. I do electrical work. I learned it in the CVs. From Foley all the way to Gulf Shores, they're either closed down the gas pumps because they're out of gas, or they're backed up into traffic.
Incredible.
And, we're a vacation town, so I'm wondering about all these people that came down for this beautiful weekend and the Balloon Festival, and how they going to get home?
Where, I have to ask you, God bless you for your service, where did you end up working with the CBs? Did you get to see a bit of the world?
Yeah, I was in Diego Garcia and Guam, and Matter of fact, a funny story, my battalion showed up in Diego Garcia in the early 80s, and when I got there, you couldn't land a B-52 there because they didn't have enough room for a runway. So doing what CBs do, my battalion went to one part of the island, blew it up, and chucked it over and made the island big enough for the B-52s. And obviously,
you didn't worry like Hank Johnson that the island might tip over?
No. Matter of fact, I worked on a pier cathodic protection system there, and we had some divers that were working below level. We were setting up a cathode system to keep the barnacles from going on the fuel pier. And these guys, Diego Garcia is sitting on three pedestals in the middle of the Indian Ocean. And these guys in their free time would go off one side of the island, drop down, and let the current carry them under the island.
Oh, my gosh. That is a scary story. Carl, stay on the line. Thank you for your service. Let's give Carl a signed copy of Why We Fight, Defeating America's Enemies with No Apologies. Back to your calls. Special guest, Senator Marsha Blackburn, here with me. ReliefFactor.com studios, Relief Factor, 100% drug-free pain relief that actually works. If you are in pain and you have found relief nowhere else, you've got to try this product that is providing liberation from pain to tens of thousands of Americans, me included, my wife, my daughter. Just call them today. Order the three-week quick starter pack at 800-500-8384 or go to ReliefFactor.com. You've waited long enough. You deserve to know. You know it makes sense. Call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com.
Has been met by Israeli-led forces under Netanyahu's racist policies. But we're really telling Palestinians fighting apartheid is the same thing being told to my fellow Black Americans across our country here and that are fighting against police brutality. There is no form of accept a resistance to state violence, accept for the denial of you know, people's human dignity. And we need to stop. We need to stop and look at the fact that our own country is enabling it, with billions of dollars every year being issued to Israel, even though they are promoting racism and dehumanization.
Her fellow black Americans? I thought she was a proud Palestinian. Does she think that Arabs are black? I think she's confused, especially about what's happening in the Middle East. That is a member of the squad, Rashida Tlaib. And we have somebody on the line who sees things very, very differently. A fighter for the truth, proudly representing the people of Tennessee, Senator Marsha Blackburn. Welcome back to America First.
It is always good to be with you. And yes, indeed, standing up for Israel and fighting back. It is just astounding to me. You know, I have to tell you, Sebastian, this is an issue that Joe Biden owns. He has been in office now coming up on 6 months. We are seeing this. Just think about it. President Donald Trump with the Abraham Accords. And now look at what you have happening over here with Hamas, with Hezbollah, with these terrorist organizations feeling that they are emboldened because there is not going to be accountability from the White House. John Kerry, who is cozy with Iran, who enjoys giving information, obviously, to Zarif without thought about how this could be used to endanger the lives of our diplomats and of our military men and women in the region. This is just astounding and really quite unfortunate. And to hear comments like Representative Tlaib is something that should cause everybody that is in the district that she represents to stop and say, my goodness, what is she talking about, and what does she actually believe?
So our friends in Israel are under attack right now, even schools being rocketed. We're talking to Senator Marsha Blackburn. Follow her right now on Twitter, at Marsha Blackburn. What is the scenario? You're there on Capitol Hill. You're fighting. The last time we witnessed this, and it was one of my proudest moments in the White House, when we finally managed to give the president all the ammunition he needed to actually shut down the Obama JCPOA Iran deal. If this is reenacted, the last time Obama deliberately didn't go to the Senate because he knew he couldn't even get Democrats to vote for a treaty that would empower the Iranian mullahs, is he going to do it this time? Can you have meaningful discussions with your Democrat colleagues in the Senate, Marsha Blackburn? How concerned are you?
Oh, I'm very concerned. And of course, this needs to be treated as a treaty. And that is the way this should be approached. And we know that Obama and Biden knew full well that they would never get the JCPOA through the Senate as a treaty. So what did they do? They decided they would call it a quote-unquote deal.
Right.
And they pushed it through with it being an deal. And everyone remembers those pallets of cash being put on a plane and flown to Tehran. And here they're already talking about doing it again, allowing assets to be thawed and for the Iranians to have access to those dollars and for them to get those assets back. Well, where do they... What do they do with their money in Iran? They sponsor terrorism. They are the globe's leading state sponsor of terrorism.
And so you are actually taking action. Tell our millions of listeners and viewers what the bill is that you've proposed with regards to Hezbollah on Capitol Hill.
Yeah, and well, with Iran, we are saying that legislation is you have to bring that before the Senate. And when it comes to dealing with Hezbollah, what we're saying is let's go after the bank accounts. This is where the money is. And if there is a region of Lebanon, or if there are groups in Lebanon or individuals who we think may be in violation of Section 311 of the Patriot Act, if they may be participating in money laundering, if they may be up to no good with those dollars, then these are restrictions that are placed on financial institutions and would disallow those individuals to launder that money through the United States. This is a way for us to protect not only our nation and our national security, it helps to protect our assets.
We have the article right in front of us. Senator Blackburn moves to cut off funds for terrorists targeting Israel. We're posting it right now on our Twitter and Facebook pages. In the last minute and a half we have with you, Senator, how dire is the situation? Because we've seen the last 3 months of outrageous radical activity coming out of the White House. Yet I get the sense that because of the 50-50 split in the Senate, they can't get away with as much as they would like to. Am I being overly optimistic?
No, that is a way. The fact that it's a 50-50 Senate, and we've been able to hold the filibuster, and we've been able to thwart some of these things that they're wanting to do, you're exactly right. It causes them to have to come to the table. Right now, there is a massive debate going on in the Rules Committee over H.R. 1,
yes.
S1. And this is the Democrats' push to federalize elections. And at this point, I don't know if they're going to get that through. I hope they don't. We certainly are doing everything we can to block it. There is also a piece of legislation that we are thwarting, and that is in Commerce Committee, and it's called the Endless Frontier Act. It would be a waste of billions and billions of dollars, but more importantly, it would take away some of the focus from our national labs and put it to the National Science Foundation. These are different entities, different purposes, and it is something that would end up making our nation less innovative and less safe. Now, who benefits when we are
right.
less technologically
just,
innovative?
Just our enemies. But she's a warrior, and she's fighting back. Blackburn.senate.gov is the website, and her Twitter handle, at Marsha Blackburn. God bless. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, coming to you live from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Not enough calls. Let's get back. The number is 833-33-GORKA. That's 833-334-6752. Don't forget the website where you can contact us, sebgorka.com, S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, sebgorka.com. Let's go to Matt in North Carolina, line one. Welcome back, Matt.
Hello, Dr. Gorka. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You know about this, but maybe some of your listeners do not. Patriots that like guns.
What do you mean, patriots that like guns? All patriots like guns.
All patriots
have
guns. Yes, sir. I'm trying to remind them through you, if you will, if they get a letter from Senator Rand Paul, it's do not throw it in the garbage. It is about the official firearm sovereignty survey, where there's five boxes to check. That's it. Put a stamp on it and mail it back. Now, can I tell you, sir? The most important one, number five.
Go ahead.
I urge my United States senators to do everything in their power to oppose the UN Small Arms Treaty. I have it signed by a stamp. Do not throw it in the garbage, patriots. Mail it back to him. Is that okay, sir?
Okay, because you think the Republican members of the Senate are going to protect your Second Amendment civil rights, Matt?
I don't know, but I heard good things about Senator Rand Paul, sir.
He's only one guy. I am going to ask you the question one more time, because you believe the Republican members of the Senate are going to protect your Second Amendment civil rights?
No, but I'll do everything I can to promote it, sir.
Good. All right. So, first things first, most senators are a bunch of oxygen thieves, with the exception of those who appear on this show like Marsha Blackburn. I have to agree with certain things that are done by Senator Paul and, of course, Ted Cruz. The only two senators who did not confirm Lisa Monaco becoming the second highest official in the Department of Justice, despite being the architect of Obama's Homeland Security policies that helped create or helped facilitate the rise of ISIS. So at the end of the day, yeah, you can sign individual letters and send them to your senator. Form letters, not so effective. Writing your own letter, much more powerful. Ringing those offices, leaving a message with the staff. And even beyond that, be a force multiplier by joining organizations that have the manpower, have the budget, have the lawyers like Gun Owners of America and others that have the skill to constantly put a pressure on those senators. So, Matt, I appreciate your call, even if it's not Friday, because Friday is Second Amendment Friday here on America First. But focusing on one senator is never, ever enough. How about getting engaged? How about becoming politically active? If all 74 million of us did that, wow, there would be no stopping us. Back with Lord Conrad Black after these messages.
This is not fake news. This is not CNN.